Oh, and welcome to the Brothers Geek Podcast. My name is Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Good morning. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Whatever you celebrate or not celebrate. Yes. Hi.
Nihilism. Hello, Andrew.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. Happy Christmas celebration week. You know, because it's the 20th.
December 20th, 2020.
Shocking that it's December.
Like our mother says, Christmas is a season to her. So yeah. I'm pretty sure Linda Schmaltz starts celebrating Christmas as early in December as she can get herself together and put decorations in her house. But with the, pandemic. And
why do I see Christopher?
I'm testing my camera, dude, on Discord. How about that?
Are we video chatting on Discord right now? Oh, that's not a bad video quality, actually.
How about that?
Oh gosh.
Hey, what's up? Oh my god, we're seeing each other. On the podcast.
Yeah, video. Yeah.
The video button. There we go.
We're
okay. There it is.
Oh yes.
This is weird.
Oh yeah. Okay. Wow. My video.
Weird.
My camera quality sucks. What is the deal with my camera quality?
Like we have not like done these via video in, I mean, what, 100 episodes? How long is
100
it
episodes? Yeah,
I see
easily.
Your facial reactions to it's the craziness.
It is. It's this is the way we should do it. If we've got the bandwidth to do it, it's
sure.
Yeah, no, I think Discord doesn't take much power to do so.
Good.
So it's
that's
like
good.
It's let's, yeah, yeah. It's like it. It's a solid like system. Okay.
How funny is that?
We are talking. This is episode number 156. We're recording this on December 20th, as we said. We are talking Mandalorian Chapter 16, The Rescue. Spoilers, big spoilers, because this is a very serious episode. Spoilers. Do not listen unless
happen. Lots
of podcast right now.
Yes.
If you don't care, you just want to listen to our voices and hear us talk about don't. You know,
maybe you like the sound of our voices.
I strongly believe that that's 98% of our listeners, right?
I mean, I agree as well.
They listen not for the amazing insight and true. Intelligent banter. They listen because they like the sound of.
Now you get you guys get
there's
to
some of that for sure.
Yeah. What are you doing, Patrick?
That's a Bloody Mary.
Look at, I was telling Patrick the story of my broken headphones.
Oh my god, that is broken. Holy crap, dude, that is so wonky.
Look at it. It's got blue tape on it, dude.
What the hell? How do you break a headset?
Now we get to see the computer.
I was adjusting and it snapped. I taped it up.
Seriously? Okay.
look at that.
It's oh my awful. God. Okay, we'll try not to let
Wait,
the
now that's all I'm going to be able to look at. I'm just going to be staring at
right?
the whole time. The video just totally went sideways on us.
Look at this. Look at that.
That's hilarious.
So broken ass piece of shit.
I'm glad that I'm really triggered by my video quality. Obviously, my integrated webcam and my laptop is garbage because I must be at like, 360p or something, and you guys are in like an HD. I need a better video camera.
You need an HD video camera. If we're gonna go,
I
to
really do. Camera, so I, it's a good thing it's on my Christmas list. Hopefully, my secret Santa will splurge and buy me an HD camera that I can stream with. Because streaming video is, I mean, the vaccine's coming, but guess what? This is a whole new world, and there's going to be a lot more video usage. Yeah,
we're not going back.
A lot of people working from home forever, I think. So,
I mean, I'm working from home until at least April. So,
think about like all these like office building that they pay rent for. Like, they don't have to pay rent for these offices. Like, they could just like close all those down. And
the video meetings are going to continue. Like at my work. I am going into the office, but we're not meeting in a conference room. We're meeting over WebEx, and three of us are at the building.
Yeah.
Right. So,
for sure.
Because 100%. We don't want to be in the same room. So that's going to continue. Even if people are going back to the office, there will continue to be video meetings because people don't want to be in the same room. So
That's true.
I read masks when we're in our own office.
So I read an article today about rich Republican politicians getting the vaccine before.
All politicians like, are, dude. Even
first,
I mean,
AOC, first responders and stuff.
Especially those that were downplaying the.
That's what I'm saying. Downplaying the virus.
F those people. F them.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. Oh, you don't need a vaccine? Yeah. Why are you getting a vaccine? What are you doing?
Now that I'm first. All the Republicans who are all the Republicans are downplaying it. And they're saying, well, it's required by my job to get vaccinated because of the continuity of government. It's like the law that exists. Yeah, so I have to have the vaccine, but it's still not that big of a deal.
There's a discussion at my job too about like requiring vaccines to come to set
they have vaccination cards that people are getting. So
they're talking about like, is that going to be like a requirement to work on film sets? And people are saying there's people who have allergies to the vaccine. There's people who object to the vaccine. And it's like, no.
Guess what?
You object to the vaccine.
Well, you're not going to get hired, dude. Deal with it.
No, as the lawyer in the room, I have to say there are absolutely legitimate accommodations that you have to make for people under the Americans with Disabilities Act, if they have a legit medical issue related to sensitivity to what the vaccine is made of or otherwise, to make an accommodation for that. And there's religious law that if they have religious related objections, you have to accommodate that.
A Jedi and I trust in the Force to protect me from all viruses. Is that a thing?
The Force is with you. The
Force is with me always. I trust in the Force, and the Force is with me. Is that a thing?
Jedi is, I don't think, a recognized religion.
They're discriminating against my religion now. What about the First Amendment?
That's
freedom
true.
Of religion. I mean, First Amendment.
He's being sarcastic, everyone.
Yeah.
I'm not being sarcastic. I'm a Jedi. I believe in, the Force.
You are not
just
a Jedi.
Legitimate as believing in, space Jesus. We can if we want. We can have a very informed discussion about.
I'm down with that at any time.
I know you are. But we're not talking about that. We are talking. We kind of are going to be talking about a space Jesus going on in this episode. We are.
Space Jesus showed up in an X-wing fighter. So,
oh my God.
Okay,
flipping the fuck.
They're
out.
Let's just get it out of the way, and then we can talk about the rest
of the title for the podcast.
Yeah. Space Jesus shows up in an X-Wing.
Yeah, arrives in an X-Wing.
Yes! Perfect. Okay. So let's just get it out of the way so we can talk about the other parts of the episode that are way less cool. Luke Skywalker shows up in his X-Wing. There's this the moment they're sitting on the bridge and the X-Wing flies by the window. I was like,
oh no, dude. I'm not kidding when I say I lost my shit.
Yeah.
Hannah's
like, who's that? And I was like, that's Luke Skywalker. And I was just like, silent.
I would have to stop myself from reflexively punching her in the shoulder and being
why are you punching your girlfriend?
Don't do that. She doesn't know. Like, how do you not know who that is?
You went loud. I went quiet. I was like,
you
can't see my face right now.
It all went internal. Everything went internal.
Yes, chills. Just
Christopher,
go on.
How
go
did
on
you react to when the X-Wing came in the frame?
Because I was watching it with Susan and Kristen and Kira, I restrained myself. I went the path of because I did not want to like give my family a heart attack. But inside, I was screaming with delight.
Uh huh.
Screaming with delight.
Yeah. Right.
So
that is the ultimate fan service moment of all fan service moments, and I loved every freaking second
of it.
Yep. Oh, okay. I will say this. I don't think my one criticism of it is it doesn't look too great. Like his face.
It was better than Leia CG.
Better than Leia, but
I disagree with you there.
Not great. It was
I'm
going to
disagree
great.
With you. I thought Leia's CG looked better.
No.
In Rogue One. This was passable.
You're wrong. You're so wrong.
I still was like totally into it, and I was there, and it was Luke freaking Skywalker.
It was pretty good. It was better than the Leia's.
I saw a hot cosplay girl that I follow on Twitter commented she said it looked like a Luke Skywalker Snapchat filter, and I thought that was pretty funny. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's actually kind of funny.
I mean, probably that's the right. One criticism is like it's television show that it's like the you see between the cracks a little bit. Up until this moment, I feel like this was movie quality Star Wars stuff. All the ship battles
Absolutely.
Are great.
All the money on this show.
But then this one moment, it wasn't like the Marvel level of like de-aging Samuel Jackson. That's what I wanted. Samuel Jackson was seamless.
That's right. And we've talked about this before. They have the capability to do that. And I'm trying to understand, Patrick, you can probably provide some insight on this. I'm trying to understand in the editing room and in the close to the final edit of the episode, and they're looking at that shot and the scene, and the discussion that's going, they see the same thing we do, which mm-hmm. is, you know what, that's not quite great. And that really breaks it out of you can't but stare at, oh, that doesn't look real. Your mind is like, okay, that doesn't look real. And so these people know that. They're sitting looking at it in the highest of high-tech screens and everything else.
Yeah.
And editing that show. And I'm trying to understand the decision-making where it's just like, okay, that's good enough. And what would it take to get it to be perfect? And, we spend another $1 million to get it perfect?
Yeah.
I mean, and so is that...
Or time? Here's the two things that I would like to say about that is there is definitely some time constraints. Like maybe mm-hmm. they got to the point where they had to turn in the episode. They were required to turn it in by this date, and they just did it. They had to do it.
I think that might be part of it. I agree with you, Patrick. I think that's my part of it. Why TV sometimes doesn't rise to film level in terms of its CG, because clearly Disney, just like HBO, spent $15 million an episode for the last season of Game of Thrones, and everything in Game of Thrones is like cinematic quality level
stuff.
They delayed that
crazy too. You remember, like, the last season was like
that's
a
what
year
I'm getting
and
at.
Half,
like, yeah, like they had that ability. Like, yeah, whenever their episodes are done, that's it. When we're going to show the season. Like,
they I think part of it was like they gotta push the Mandalorian season 2 because maybe they are losing subscribers and they want to like keep people.
Well, I think that
through the holiday,
that's
and then
the difference
plus,
between
plus
Warner
January.
Brothers. And
yeah,
that might be the difference between Warner Brothers and HBO. Whereas HBO is like, okay, we're gonna give you all the rope in the world. Give us, you know, we want the best possible whatever. And Disney is like, we need all the episodes by this day. You have no choice in the matter. That's just the evil company theory of it all. But
that finishes. Yeah,
the existential side of this is there's a thing in Hollywood and in filmmaking called you're surrounded by yes men, and this happens a lot too. Is there's a small group of people who are saying to you, "Oh, it looks great. Oh yeah, oh my god, it looks amazing. That's young Luke," and it's like, everybody doesn't want to criticize. There's a little bit of that. And it's like, that's how these big movies come out, with like George Lucas making like Crystal Skull. And like, he's surrounded by people who are like, oh man, this script is great. This moment is incredible. Oh my God, this edit's amazing. Oh, that looks great. You know, no one wants to say, he surrounds himself with like people who are like, oh yeah, this looks amazing.
You're a master in your craft.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait,
so
you can't write for shit.
So I mean, we've been shitting on it. We've been shitting on this moment.
They want to get paid, right? Yeah. They want. I mean, he is the cash cow. You get hooked up with someone who has $1 billion.
Yeah,
you want to keep your job,
right?
You want to
keep your job. Yeah.
We want it to boils down to that.
And everybody's like, got an ego. Nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to hear that.
It doesn't look great. It doesn't look great.
The choices that you made could have been made better. So
right.
Nobody wants to hear that. It's a very confident person that can take that criticism and say, you've worked for 6 months on this. It's your baby. And it's not even just like, I mean, when you're, as a person who's written something that, written stuff that's never been published, taking criticism of something you've created, like a short piece of fiction or whatever, in a classroom setting, that sucks. And it's hard to do. So
you want everybody to just like your work and exactly. like what you wrote and you don't want to hear that in an editing room. Yeah.
Sitting in an editing room and you have something on screen that you've poured your life and soul into for a year.
Yeah.
And then we get to the point where we reveal young Luke Skywalker's face and the CGI doesn't look 100%.
Plus, I would like to say this too, because of the nature of the moment and the show, there's probably very few people that saw this moment up until it was released.
So you
have a very small pool of people who know what's happening.
Now that you say that is the most likely theory for me is that five people saw this.
Yeah, exactly. It's not 100 people that saw the rest of the show. It's five executives that know about it to keep the secret, as long as possible. And because of that, five executives were like, that looks great. Yeah, send it. Like, it's fine. It looks great. But they're not Star Wars fans. Those executive guys don't have an eye. They're not going to nitpick the shit out of it.
Well, like, okay, let's bring this back down.
And I will say this. This is like another moment, a little notch in the, we kind of rushed this season. There was that guy who was standing in the back that everybody missed that they painted out now. Mm-hmm. There was a plane flying through the scene with Boba Fett where he first shows up and he has a suit of armor on that one planet
there's a plane in
the background. So there's like mistakes. I honestly think that it comes on the line of this season was rushed a little. They were trying to get it done as quickly as they could, and maybe not the care was taken to make sure everything was perfect. And that's
moving
fine.
Moving beyond all of that. I'll add my voice to the chorus on this because it clearly is meant to mirror the moment in Rogue One when Vader goes fully ham on all the rebels.
This is
Luke Skywalker at the peak of his powers, just laying waste to, Mando, our hero for this entire series, who is the badass of the series, who can handle pretty much anything. He has trouble handling one dark trooper.
Right.
And Luke Skywalker shows up and goes ham on 50 of them and doesn't seem to break a sweat. This is the Luke Skywalker that exists in every fanboy's brain.
That's so funny you say that. That is exactly right. All of us have been hoping. We never really got that scene.
In any movie of
Luke just kicking ass. And we get it.
Now we have it.
I would like to just talk about power levels for a second. This is going to be
a deep dive for us.
So
it's sort of like, as an audience, we sort of like take for granted the Jedi and what they're capable of. And I think that in this moment, in this episode, it really paints the picture of like, Mando has trouble with this one guy. And that moment where he's punching his helmet into the wall was incredible. I was just like, awesome. Oh my God. I was like sitting up on the edge of my couch like, dude.
The Beskar saved his life.
He's punching into the wall and he's like having trouble killing this guy because he's just not human. He's too powerful. And then you're right, Andrew. Luke Skywalker shows up and smokes all of them like it's nothing because Jedi, like Mando's down here, just regular dudes. They're regular dudes. Mando's like a little higher, he's a little more capable. He's got better situation, but he's still a dude. And then Jedi, boom, take a big leap.
Well,
And there's
a bell curve for Jedi too.
It's Luke Skywalker too.
There's a bell curve for Jedi, and Luke is at the front, the bleeding edge.
He is a bleeding edge Jedi. 100%.
Yeah, where do you put? I mean, that's an interesting thought about. I live in this world, right? But where? Yeah. Where, I mean, there's a bell curve for everything, right? Yeah. And so there's got to be a bell curve for Jedi. And so where do we put, like, Mace Windu? Where do we put Obi-Wan? Where do we put Ahsoka? Where do we put other Jedi that we see in Clone Wars? They're somewhere in that bell curve. Not everybody is exceptional, right? Even in the set of Jedi. So that's an interesting. I mean, Luke is got to be sort of near the.
Mace Windu defeated the Emperor, and the Emperor smoked four Jedi Masters like it was nothing.
Right.
But Mace Windu, so it's sort of like Mace Windu is like a step above, you know. And there's a discussion about like Ahsoka using two lightsabers. She doesn't have the power of the Force like Luke has. Luke is exceptional with the Force. He is exceptional.
Yeah.
He is a Skywalker. He's able to do like he's using the Force and wielding his lightsaber to attack these guys. So it's I'm watching Chris struggle with the headset and I'm just like, oh my god.
Yeah, the video is going to lead to some.
It's distracting. It's distracting. Like my syndroming. My syndroming is.
Oh yeah. No. Well,
I was taking my hat off. My hat off is messing with me.
Yeah. You know, it's. So I agree. I mean, Luke is the bleeding edge Jedi. He is the Jedi that is at the far end of the curve. He is like with Yoda. He is with Mace Windu. He's, you know, Anakin. He's kind of even Obi-Wan Kenobi didn't have the power, I think, that Luke likely has or is capable of. And think about the Luke that we saw in The Last Jedi, where he's doing that force projection that exists on Krait, and he's able to completely, you know, be there in the reality, and he's projecting himself through the Force, a version of himself through the Force across an entire galaxy, and it's like a fully realized thing.
It kills him to do so,
but Kylo Ren even establishes it in The Last Jedi, saying, you can't possibly do this, it would kill you, to Rey.
Yeah.
So, Luke is the absolute bleeding edge of Force power. And the way that he was trained and shaped by not just Obi-Wan and by Yoda, he is kind of like a guided missile a little bit. Like they trained him to be kind of that honed edge of Jedi. Well, like they had one purpose for him. He needed to be able to fight and stand up to Vader and the Emperor.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But that's part of the reason why the argument of he wasn't the greatest Jedi master because to train other Jedis because he was a weapon, you know, he's a fighter
I think you can't even just play him as a fighter, dude. You've got to put him in the realm of he was honed to do one thing by Yoda.
You said this to me.
He said you have to confront Vader. That was the purpose that Yoda gave to Luke. So they trained him specifically to be able to do that and to be able to stand against Vader.
There's also a discussion. There's kind of like this weird idea of maybe necessarily Luke isn't as more powerful than Obi-Wan or Yoda, but maybe that because Vader would hesitate to kill Luke.
There's definitely that.
He would like hold back because it's his kid, and maybe that'll give him the moment to like tap into his humanity.
That's the human redemption side of it, of course.
The love breaks through. So I'm less cynical about they're making a Luke a weapon. They're going to send him off to blow up the two of them. I think that their plan was to tap into what was left of Vader's humanity.
Well, I don't think that's what they were saying though, Patrick. They were definitely not. They pushed back against Luke's redemption narrative. There was
it's true. It's
Yoda, true. Yoda and Obi-Wan did not.
Yeah,
they did not want him to go to Cloud City and rescue his friends because that's a human side of it. He needs to detach. They wanted him to detach.
I feel like we could just talk about Star Wars forever.
we really could.
Some deep shit. Let's talk about this episode. Yeah,
we got to get into it.
I would like to say one thing is like you're like the Last Jedi, like everybody wanted the warrior Luke, you know, when Rey hands him the lightsaber, they wanted him to take it and like go fight, you know, do all these things. Like, let's see Luke as I think this moment was kind of like a fan service moment. All those trolls who are like, why isn't Luke a badass, you know? Why? But like where Luke is in his life, you know, he's failed. Like, this is Luke who's hopeful, who's trying to build up the Jedi Order again.
Right.
And
that's why it is not pure. Like, from a fan, I can say that it is absolutely fan servicey. But that is exactly the actual response, which is, this is not fan servicey. This is 5 years after Luke was instrumental in defeating the Empire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's 5 years of him building on and honing his Jedi abilities in all kinds of shit, right? Mop-up activities. And and so it's not pure fan service. It is true to the timeline and not simply Luke for Luke's sake. So, yeah, that's the easy response to that fan servicey moment is, oh, well, of course, Luke is the person. He is the single most powerful Jedi that currently exists at that moment in time, mm-hmm. right? And, of course, he would be sensitive to the signal that Grogu sends out.
Yep.
And, of course, when he shows up, he's able to lay waste because it's 5 years after he defeated Vader.
Like, how is Mark Hamill humanoid Star Wars universe? Like, he's probably like 35, like maybe 40 by now. Like,
he was like, Luke was early to mid 20s at in Return of the Jedi. So he's okay. He's 30, 35. Yeah,
he's 30. He's just peak. He's peak.
Peak yeah. Jedi.
Peak he is Jedi. Peak Jedi.
And well, he is probably the most powerful Jedi that's ever existed.
Jedi like, probably don't peak. I mean, I assume they live longer. So Jedi don't peak. I mean, Windu is probably 20 years older, right? So
yeah.
Jedi probably don't peak until they've got 25 years of true master level working on the Force, right?
So yeah.
Well, you're talking about wisdom and power. And that's the difference between... Mm-hmm. That's the difference between Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I have the high ground, Anakin, is wisdom and power. And he thought his power would save him.
Luke said it in his episode.
Bad writing.
No, that's so on the nose, but that's exactly what George Lucas is trying to say.
Luke says it in this episode. Power. Talent without training is nothing. He says that about Grogu. He says it. He's like, talent without training is nothing. So... Yeah. Couple things. We have to bring this down just because we could talk extemporaneously. I think that's about Star Wars for forever. For
hours, yeah.
Yeah. So Chris's prediction came true. The Mando faced off with Moff Gideon sure wielding the Darksaber and Mando with his Beskar spear.
Yep.
Awesome fight.
Yep.
So much fun.
Did you notice a little detail of when the Darksaber hit the spear, it was like heating up. It was starting to get hot.
Yep.
Like it wouldn't, like he couldn't like hold it. Like maybe it would cut through it eventually.
It was definitely interacting with the molecules of the Beskar.
Yes,
and eventually it would have been able to cut through the spear.
It's really interesting details. Like it can handle it for a second or two.
It can handle it for longer than that, but you're right. The Darksaber was transferring heat to the Beskar spear. That's clear.
Serious cool detail.
I love that.
The fight was great. That moment was awesome. The moment we kind of hoped and knew was coming was awesome to see. Giancarlo Esposito as Moff Gideon. I have not you've watched Breaking Bad, Christopher. He is like a villain in Breaking Bad over multiple seasons, correct?
Yep. Yeah, oh yeah.
I have not really.
He's phenomenal.
He's phenomenal as Moff Gideon.
Really good.
He's phenomenal.
Shout out. This is my 10-second plug for Breaking Bad. He is one of the key reasons why you watch that show. Incredible in that show. You got to watch that show.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Giancarlo Esposito is awesome as Gideon. Manipulative and confident and everything that you kind of expect from, you know, a high-level Empire villain in the Star Wars universe. He kind of he hits all of those beats for me, but he still feels like a unique character. Like, his arrogance, his confidence, his manipulative side.
He's wielding the freaking dark saber, dude.
Wielding a dark saber. I mean, that moment was awesome, so I don't want to downplay that, but I would like to, I love the starfighter moments. So, like, the moment of them, like, entering the ship with the Slave One, like, chasing them, like, their whole plan was very cool, very interesting. Like, them crash landing the shuttle into the ship was really, really neat. It looked incredible.
How stressful is launching a freaking TIE fighter off that ship?
Right? I mean, through the acceleration tunnel?
Is that like on autopilot until you are clear of the ship? I mean, holy shit.
You're just threading the needle there, you know,
the whole time.
That detail is like, okay, that's gotta be an autopilot
talk about being in the pipe, essentially.
You start to see this is just like a frigate class
light cruiser.
This isn't like a Star Destroyer. They don't have Star Destroyers are like thousands of
which troops. Makes total sense. It's easier to misplace a light cruiser than a Star Destroyer.
So. True. you're absolutely correct.
So I want to build on what Patrick mentioned about like the plan and, you know, the execution of it, and Mando building himself this like elite strike team. I love that it was Mando and four badass women.
Thank you.
Yep. It was the reverse Smurfette. Have you guys heard this idea of the Smurfette, Smurfette motif?
No.
You have one badass woman surrounded by awesome guys. That was the main criticism of Rogue One, or that I saw online about the gender issues in Rogue
absolutely One. Absolutely a trope. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely a trope. You have the one badass woman surrounded by all the awesome dudes who support her. Well, this totally flips that, and you have the central badass who's a man,
and
you have the four other women who are just kicking ass the whole time.
Kicking ass, yep.
It's awesome.
They are whooping ass through this ship.
Yeah, and Bo-Katan actually comes up with the plan. She's the mastermind.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, she's a leader. Seasoned leader Mandalorian. I would also like to say that I love that, like, Boba Fett has been pushed to sort of like being like the wheel man, like just the moment of like him chasing them and then like dodging the surface guns and then going to warp. I just had this like
hyperspace.
Warp is
Star Trek. It
translates, Andrew.
Totally different. Totally different technology.
We are not purists here.
Yeah.
Why don't you just say FTL and just make it something totally ridiculous?
I mean, that works too. Faster than light travel.
They're all synonyms.
They're all the same fucking thing.
He goes to hyperspace. Sorry, Andrew.
He used the Epstein drive.
Yes! The Epstein drive, yes! I love this.
Awesome. Oh, my God.
But, like, that moment where he just, like, punches through space just to dip, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love spaceships. I love Star Wars spaceships. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about. Like last week was like that Rogue Squadron episode. Like, I hope it's just spaceship battles like every episode.
And there are multiple. I mean, here's the thing. A lot of the criticism of this season is a lot of formulaic episodes, right? Go into a place.
There's a lot of filler. Fight
some dudes. And then, you know, it's all chasing the MacGuffin, right? And so a lot of that formulaic stuff. Multiple episodes of that this year.
Well,
let me finish my point.
Sorry.
My point is this one was that formula, but the most dynamic of any of the episodes, right? Oh, yeah. I did not care about the formula because every moment in this episode was dynamic with energy, interesting, fight scenes, really, really it. Well
it
done.
Emotional yeah. weight to it.
Yes.
Well, and I'd like to talk about for a second Peyton Reed, who is the director of this episode, who's the director of Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp. And it's sort of like he's like owned by Disney now, it seems like Marvel Disney. But like really I think that really speaks to the heart of the episode is selling you on these moments. And like the all aside, I should wait for Andrew to come back maybe, but like the moment when Mando takes off his helmet.
Yeah.
And we see his face, he takes off his and this is the culmination of the season. We've been talking about this all season is
right.
The he's seeing a different side of it. Mandalorians don't just take off their helmet. He had to take off his helmet last episode to do something to find the baby. Like he's willing to do it. He's willing to break his doctrine that he's adhered to for so long. He's never taken off his helmet in front of a living creature before.
Absolutely.
Last season. Have you ever taken off your helmet? No, I have not. Like not even to the baby Yoda before. And now he takes it off in front of strangers and allies just to say goodbye for this one moment.
Really powerful emotional moment at the end of that episode.
I didn't quite tear up, but I was damn close.
Yeah.
It was just really sad. And then do they have to is
Andrew's computer is locked
up. He didn't plug it in. Okay. Should we pause? Let's hold off on the discussion and
pause.
I'll edit this out.
His computer died?
His computer died, he said.
Oh my god.
Okay. How far are we into it? Hold on. Let me check the so I can go in and edit this out. Oh. Is he back? We see you. Is this how do we see him if his computer's dead?
I'm back.
Oh, heck!
I was able to plug in my computer. Sorry. I got no warning. My battery is going to die, and then all of a sudden it's like, "Oh, your computer's dead." Sorry about that.
Recording and you're on video chat. You should absolutely plug it in, no matter what. It drains the battery.
I didn't even think about it.
Oh man, just shit in the bed over here. So. What you missed was I was talking about the Mandalorian taking off his helmet and that big reveal and this like sad moment of like him saying goodbye to Baby Yoda. And then I was going to say, do you think that Baby Yoda's off the show? Do you think that Mandalorian's storyline is done?
I honestly think they're going to build on the tension between Bo-Katan and Din Djarin because in reality,
Din
Djarin is now the wielder of the Darksaber.
Well, and that's a whole discussion too.
We need to get into that because that's absolutely where this storyline goes. Because they left that hanging.
Yep.
The Mandalorian really becomes much more focused on that, and I applaud them for it because then it's disconnected from Skywalker, Jedi. That's a hugely interesting thing that they need to explore. And it's squarely within the idea of the show. It's focused on the Mandalorian and what all of that entails. So I love that. If we never see Grogu again in this show, I'm cool with it. So
I think I agree that.
Wow.
I think I agree with Christopher. I'd be okay with it.
They will do it.
I'd be okay with it. And I think it will also be interesting to see to see Din Djarin. For two seasons, all we've had of Din Djarin is his own personal needs and wants. Like, he gets done what he wants to get done. He has a goal. He does what he needs to do to get to that goal. Season one, it was kind of figuring out that he, you know, needs to protect the kid. Season two, it's like, I've got a quest. I need to get the quest done. Who can help me do that? Now it's like he's going to be caught up in these larger events with Bo-Katan.
The retaking of Mandalore.
Or the tension of...
I mean, then they get to explore what is in the wake of a breakup of an empire, right? It's vacuum of power. What happened at the end of the Roman Empire? Every region became a fight for control, right, to fill that vacuum. In the Star Wars universe, how badass is that?
And what you're talking about too is like we love all those moments of like the law, like the empire, like technology that's been used to by like warlords and like the AT-ST just left on that planet is like, right, really interesting stuff. It's like post Soviet Union fall, like the weapons, all the tanks, all the guns, all the AK-47s
all the nukes
just vanished, you know. It's sort of like that's what's happening right now. I feel like it's less about the Roman Empire falling, because there is a government, but they are just, they're trying to pick up the pieces. They're like, oh shit, what, how do we get order back? They have like a couple of X-wings patrolling the outer rim.
There's one reason why they introduce those X-wings on patrol in the show is because they are thinking about exactly this. What happened after the breakup of the Empire? And they're going to continue to build on. That's going to be a theme in the next season, because they seeded it with those scenes this season. Absolutely.
I think it'll be Rangers of the New Republic. I think that's the show that we're going to get where you're talking about, Chris. Like the idea that there's an entire generation of people that have lived under the Empire that have dealt with an oppressive. Have dealt with oppression, have dealt with genocide, have dealt with government ruling through fear.
Even before that, intergalactic war between thousands of worlds.
Exactly.
So like, getting into the Clone Wars and
constant state of war for how long?
Thirty plus years. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I think having a show that could focus on a benevolent, like the hopeful benevolent side of the rebellion turning into the Republic, and how they want.
Hey everybody, sorry to come in like this, but Discord disconnected us, so I'm just gonna finish off what we were saying in the episode. We finished talking about the Mandalorian. Please follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek. Send Andrew a email on kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. Email the podcast, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com, brothersgeek.com, and brothersgeek do stuff on Instagram. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.